Newly released court documents outline a narrative of what the suspects say happened before and during the shooting at the STEM school in Highlands Ranch in May. One student was killed that day, 18-year-old Kendrick Castillo. Eight more were injured. Two suspects, both students at the school, face a number of charges, including murder. For more on these new documents, I spoke with KUNC's Guns in America reporter Lee Patterson. What we know so far is that the 18-year-old suspect is facing 48 counts, including first-degree murder. The 16-year-old suspect is also charged with murder and will likely be tried as an adult. This probable cause statement was filed actually on May 8th, but was just unsealed by a judge earlier this week. What sort of information is in there?
There are a lot of new details in these 9 pages worth of documents, and a lot of the details get at the motivations and the mindsets of both of the suspects. So let's start the night before the attack. The 18-year-old suspect says that the younger one had messaged him on Snapchat, saying not to go to school the next day, that he was super suicidal, and that he wanted to get revenge on a lot of people. Some context here. The 16-year-old suspect says that he had been planning the shooting for a couple of weeks and that he wanted the kids at school to experience bad things. He said he wanted them to have to suffer from trauma like he had had to in his own life. He told investigators that he was in the process of transitioning from female to male, and he said students had called him disgusting for trying to be a guy.
And of course, it's never easy to determine a motive in incidents like this, but it sounds like this provides investigators with at least something of a clue, at least with the younger suspect. So what happened after this?
Right. So the next day, the suspects go to the older one's family's house. The younger one breaks into the gun safe that was in the home, and he was using an axe and a crowbar to get it open. Now, it's important to note that the 18-year-old suspect actually portrays himself most of the time as sort of an unwilling participant in all of this. He says that the younger suspect actually threatened to kill him several times if he didn't do certain things. He said that earlier in the day he had wanted to call police, but for some reason never did. Once they were at school that day, he said he was going to go to the office and he was going to tell administrators what was going on, but instead he ended up in the bathroom having a panic attack.
So the two are at the school and the attack unfolds. There are gunshots and a lot of yelling. At least one of the shooters was tackled by students and a teacher.
Yes, exactly. And remember, there was an armed security guard that played a role here. And this is something in these new court documents that really stuck out to me. The guard did detain the younger suspect. This statement also indicates that that guard fired 2 rounds at a Douglas County Sheriff's deputy who had responded to the scene. Those shots missed the deputy, but one wounded a female student.
Wow. And what do we know about how common this kind of accident is?
There's not much data out there, in part because we're talking about a scenario that's rare. The FBI does put out reports on active shooter incidents that can perhaps help us better understand how armed individuals do factor in. In one of those reports, which looks at incidents between 2000 and 2013, out of 160 incidents, 5 of them were ended by armed individuals who exchanged gunfire with suspects. So here we're talking 5 out of 160 incidents in which an armed citizen, an armed security guard, shot at the suspect.
Okay, so getting back to the 16-year-old suspect and his mindset for just a moment, he mentions suicidal thoughts a few times. Tell me more about that.
He said that after the shooting, he had planned to kill himself, but he didn't know how to work the safety on one of the guns, and so he couldn't. He also told investigators that he had been having both suicidal and homicidal thoughts since he was 12 years old.
And so is this a common dynamic? I mean, what do we know about the link between mental illness and mass shootings?
I'll start by saying that people with serious mental illnesses are rarely violent. Experts say that around 3 to 5% of all violence, which includes gun violence, is attributed to people with serious mental illnesses. There have been a few perpetrators of mass shootings that have had some sort of verified history of psychiatric treatment for serious mental illness, but there's quite a bit of disagreement among experts as to how prevalent mental illness is in the tiny population of mass shooters that are out there. Now, what is relevant to this particular incident is that research does show that individuals who commit mass shootings are often angry, they often feel aggrieved, and also oftentimes have revenge-type fantasies.
And all of that, what the 16-year-old suspect describes in these documents.
Right, yeah.
So what happens next?
The older suspect is scheduled to be in court again in late September. Hearings are scheduled for November. And although the 16-year-old is set to be tried as an adult, his lawyers are planning to try and have his case sent back to juvenile court.
All right, Lee, thank you for digging into these documents for us.
You're welcome.
And that was our Guns in America reporter, Lee Patterson. I'm Erin O'Toole.